Now, is it true that many major cities at that time had downtown law schools?
That's true. After World War I and World War II, cities grew and they got bigger, and there were people that lived in the cities that were working in some capacity, and some of them began to think they wanted to be lawyers. So there were a lot of downtown law schools that were formed in a lot of cities, including Tulsa. Mr. John Rogers had been in World War I. Mr. Rogers came back after World War I, and he, among others, were very active in forming a downtown law school in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There were a lot of good lawyers that had gone to work there, but at the beginning, it didn't have the credentials that a university law school would have, although it was recognized by the American Bar Association. A lot of top-flight lawyers were graduates of, they called it, Tulsa Law School. And I'm not sure exactly how this happened, but Mr. Rogers, I'm sure, was a dominant force because he was very prominent, highly respected. He had some wealthy clients, and they were all interested in education. What had been the Tulsa Law School became the University of Tulsa College of Law.
He was instrumental in moving it to TU?
I don't know that I can say that I really know that he was instrumental, but I'm confident that he was a moving force in that law school becoming a part of the University of Tulsa, because it was then the University of Tulsa, and they were going to move it from that building right across the street from Trinity Church, where it was when I first became dean. And then they moved it on campus, and they've got a great facility out there, a law school, a university law school.
Well, you were there while this was happening.
I was dean of the law school when it was moved out there. And I wanted a Supreme Court justice to give the dedicatory address of the College of Law. Mr. Rogers was still alive. I didn't know any United States Supreme Court justice, but I thought, I'm going to get one if I can get one. And the easiest one to get would be the newest one, because he'd have fewer commitments than the others who'd been there for a long time. So I wrote a letter to Justice Rehnquist, and I told him that we would love to have him be the dedicatory speaker for the new College of Law at the University of Tulsa. He wrote me back a very gracious letter, and he said, I'd like to do that, but I can't do it on the day that you're going to have the dedication. So I called Pascal. I told him what had happened. And I said, I want you to give me authority to tell Justice Rehnquist that we'll have the dedication whenever he can come. And he thought that was a good idea. And that's what I did. I didn't know Rehnquist. He was a stranger to me. There were two lawyers here in town who knew him, that I knew. One was Maynard Ungerman, and Maynard was the son of Irving Ungerman, and Irving Ungerman had gone to Washburn Law School. And the other one, I can't think of his name, but he had clerked on the United States Supreme Court when Rehnquist, who had gone to Stanford to law school, when Rehnquist had clerked on the Supreme Court. So he knew Rehnquist as a fellow clerk. I got both of them to write a letter to Rehnquist telling them, we understand Dean Morris has invited you to come. Whenever you'll come, we'd very much like for you to come. I'm sure that he looked favorably upon their letters as well as mine. And he came, and he gave a great speech. Mr. Rogers was there, and Mr. Rogers loved it. Years went by, and I was sitting over there at my desk one morning, and I got a letter in the mail. It was from Justice Rehnquist, and he said, I have been invited to become Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. And as a part of that, they want all the speeches that I have given between the time I went on the court and now. And he said one of those speeches was the one I gave at the dedication of the University of Tulsa College of Law. And he said it awakened great and pleasant memories. Because in addition, after he said he'd come, I told him, that's going to be a formal occasion. You ought to have some fun while you're here, too. Now, if you want to hunt quail, I'll take you quail hunting. Or if you'd like to play golf, it was in the winter. If the weather will permit, I'll arrange that. I didn't belong to Southern Hills then. And I'd heard that he played tennis, but I said, if you want to play tennis, we'll have a tennis game. He said he wanted to play tennis. So we did that, and we had a good time. And, of course, everybody wanted to be his partner. I can remember one person of the foursome that I put together, and that person is John Morley. He's still alive, and he still lives in Tulsa. So we played tennis, and we had a good time.
Did you beat Rehnquist?
Well, I don't remember about that, but I got to be his partner for a while.
Pascal Twyman, you played tennis with him too, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I played tennis with Pascal every week out at the Tulsa Tennis Club.
Okay, so you became close to him. Another president that was a major influence in the university was Ben Henneke. Did you know Ben Henneke?
Oh, I knew Ben Henneke. Sure I did. Not well, but I knew him.
And we have his story. He gave us his oral history here on VoicesOfOklahoma.com.
Yeah. He was a wonderful man, and I remember I was shocked when he retired from the University of Tulsa and he moved out at the St. Simeon's. He lived out at St. Simeon's, and I thought he was way too young to go out to St. Simeon's and live, but that was his business, not mine.
Yeah.